Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal Kalai, and today I'm joined on the line by Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Greetings and salutations, everybody. Hope everyone's staying warm and dry, as we have been getting a lot of rain over here in Jersey, and things are doing pretty good. I just got back from Otakon, the largest anime convention on the East Coast, and I'll talk about that later, but for the time being, pretty good.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, this is a conversational podcast by gamers, for gamers, about, guessed it, games. This week's topic of the show is kind of interesting. It is parents who are paying Fortnite tutors. So this should be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Before we get started over on there, let's start off with some housekeeping. If you do like us, please subscribe and rate to us. It does help the show get out a lot more. Also, you can check out our Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can go to our Facebook page. Just search our Facebook page. And we have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Let's get this party started how we always do. Let's find out, what have you been playing this week? Roberto, anything good?
All sorts of stuff. I was at an anime convention, so a lot of my gaming was on the go, and I happened to play a couple of cool things. I'm actually going to talk about a couple of interesting titles I decided to play. One is a new video game called from the makers of Oh Sir, the Insult Simulator, called Crush Your Enemies. It's an exclusive release on the Switch.
Did you crush your enemies?
Yeah, and in some cases, they crushed me back. it was kind of a pain in the butt because but at the same time, it's actually really, really good. I'd highly recommend it. So Crush Your Enemies is very much based off the very famous legendary quote from Arnold Schwarzenegger from the movie Conan the Barbarian, in which, when asked what is best in life, Arnold proceeds to say, "Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of their women." I had to put this.
That's true.
Yes. So, now in that particular movie, as you know, it's like kind of like a weird, like Mediterranean desert kingdom. There's magic. It's in the desert. It's very that movie, by the way, very much inspired Golden Axe. For this game, though, you're the barbarians, and your objective is to drink and to conquer and to, you know, hear the lamentation of the women and continue it all over again in a touchscreen and also physical button tactical RTS, which is really neat. So you get the game mechanic structure. You have beige tiles, which are yours. The enemy has green ones. You have your little barbarians. The objective is to, of course, conquer the other guys and destroy their buildings. So you can drag on the Switch, drag with your finger your people, and then go and engage to the enemy. So then if they go across an enemy tile, they have to turn it yellow by digging. They can also destroy structures and rebuild them as their own. So giant ballista towers or little huts that make your barbarians from like fist fighting barbarians to like knights, which is actually pretty cool. That's actually a really neat mechanic. And then like if you make them knights on the field, then that actually makes your team very, very strong, and you can just go through entire forces like nothing. And the music's really good. It also has a really nice sense of humor. The load screens will say, like, when the screens load for levels, it'll be like loading offensive tweets, brushing chest hair, trimming your beard, things like that. And
oh, that's weird.
It's actually kind of fun. And then like even the dialogue recognizes that it's very much so self-aware. It's a video game. It knows it's a video game, and it has fun doing so. So it's really neat. Now, that's one big game I was playing. I was trying to play. There's some other ones I meant to get to, but it was kind of difficult considering we were on the go. I also played on the PlayStation Vita. I played a couple of lesser known games that were on the Vita. One I mentioned Tearaway before. I was playing that. One other game I played was Dungeon Punks, which is actually kind of a low budget but still enjoyable brawler fighting game. I'm pretty sure that might make its way to the Switch one of these days. Think of it a little bit like Golden Axe or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade brawlers, and that's essentially what it is. Except it's kind of a rinse and repeat gameplay. You're part of a mercenary crew in some fantasy world where, humans and werewolves and half human, half lizard people exist and things like that. And your objective is just to fight tons of monsters and the whole time. And that's another game that's pretty self aware. It like the whole point is that you're a mercenary company and your objective is to fight enemies, collect souls, and then use those souls to resurrect people.
So it's like a hack and slash.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like it's a little bit like Golden Axe where it's side scroller, so it's not
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's it's a nice little video game. Nothing that you have to go out of your way for, but it's a good distraction. It's on PS4, it's on Vita. I wouldn't be surprised if they make that way to the Switch, considering that it's good on the portable, and also if you have other people with you to play. Another game I played was called Phantom Breaker Battlegrounds.
Interesting.
Which I believe is also that's also heading for the Switch. It's once again a side scroller brawler, but it takes place in Japan, and it has like some interesting 16-bit pixelated sprites, which is actually pretty cool. And you just you're in an typical anime Japanese stuff. You're in an alternate dimension. You have to fight zombies in a place that looks like Japan, but it's not Japan. So you hack and slash and use powers. It's nice. It's fast. It's loud. It's really cool.
Typical Japanese, you're right.
Yeah. And I revisited some other ones like Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered, Neurovoider, and last night I played more Dead Cells. I had some okay runs. I could have been better, so I'll try again tonight. But I can't stress enough how great that game is. Don't let the controversy around it, dissuade you. It's really, really good. So, that actually wraps it up. What about you, Kalai?
Well, I bought and downloaded Monster Hunter World for the PC. And I played it on the PlayStation, but a lot of my friends were getting it for the PC. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and play that game again. And oh my god, I couldn't stop playing it all weekend long.
And those,
like, that's all I played.
Those are the best, when those games give you like that reward hook and you can't bring yourself to stop playing, that's, to me, that's a really strong example of great design. I haven't played World yet, but I imagine that if it got so many millions of people across PC and PS4 to get on it, good.
Yeah, it is amazing. I have a little bit of trouble getting together with my friends on the PlayStation, but the people that I play with on PC, they're like weekend warriors like me, so our schedules line up a lot more. Like at 10:30, they're like, well, we're tired, we're going to bed. I'm like, oh, that's great, me too, I'm going to bed too. So it's kind of nice to have people that are on my schedule to play with, and they've been helping out. Like, thank you, Matt, for helping me. Thank you, Veronica, for helping me. I've been playing with fans of our show. We've been having a blast. So then I had to go to a birthday party and a picnic. So I decided to bring my 2DS and play more Monster Hunter. So
right. And then on top, it's worth noting that if you have a 3DS and you have Monster Hunter 4, I think?
Generations.
Yeah. If you play that, there will be cross-save data for the Generation Switch version. So for anybody out there who's been, who has 3DS, tons of information stored, I'm sure, feel free to transfer that stuff over when it comes out later on this month, I believe. So, Pretty neat. And I did play that game at E3, as a matter of fact. And it basically looks like a giant up-resed version of the 3DS version. And looks sharp. You know, pretty good.
Was it sexy? Did it feel sexy?
I guess so. Because I've never played a Monster Hunter game. And we embarrassingly got wrecked by some velociraptor-looking reptar-looking velociraptor dinosaur thing. And it was like one of the easier targets. So I was like, but I think I chose the wrong class. I was like a spear dude. And yeah.
There's no such thing as a wrong class. The problem is that Generations is a true example of a Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter is Worlds is great if you're beginning and you've never played a Monster Hunter. I mean, I highly, highly recommend it if you want to get into the series, because they put baby gloves on a lot of the stuff that you don't get in a regular Monster Hunter. For example, in Worlds, you get whetstones. They're automatically, you get unlimited. So when your sharpness goes down, you have to sharpen your blade again. In a normal Monster Hunter, you have to find them and farm them. And things like that. The map system is really hard on the DS. It's, you get the map at the beginning, and it takes up an inventory slot, and you have regions. In Worlds, the map is given to you, and not only is the map given to you, they put all of the herbs, the honey, the stuff that you need to make your potions on there, which is very helpful for someone who hasn't actually played a Monster Hunter game.
Good, because okay.
Monster Hunter truly is a very, very grindy, a lot of rules and a lot of things you know about, which they pulled back on the world. So if you really want to get into it, Worlds is the best way to get into it.
Good to hear. Yeah, I mean, I do like when games like that become like a little more streamlined, a little more adapted for like the like general audiences or Western audiences, but it's done so in a way that doesn't compromise the sensation and the gameplay that we all know and love. Like, I'm trying to think of other examples that did of other games that did do that. And this one wasn't very successful, but Lost Planet 3, that's like kind of one thing that, or Devil May Cry, like, they made some kind of a streamlined adjustments with those games, and they were actually pretty good back in the day. So that's one example. And it was a game that wasn't going to, like, you know, break you or anything like that. It was actually, they were pretty good. And World, I do have on PS4. I just need to get a hold of it and get around with it.
I definitely could play with you and teach you the ways of the hunting, because yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Or even like thinking about a Far Cry 3 from Far Cry 2, where 2 was pretty tough because you had like enemies that would relentlessly pursue you, and if you went to a checkpoint and would it just kill you outright. The 3 introduced a world where you like just, it was constant reward. You got rewarded for almost everything, and the shooting and the gameplay and everything else like that was just completely refined to something much, much better. Another game I would like to think of is Vostok Inc. on the Switch and Vita. That was a game that, it's not quite like off an established line of anything, but in terms of the sensation of reward and streamlining something to keep things like rewarding and constantly constantly engaging you, that's another good game too. I would highly recommend.
All right, so unfortunately that's the only thing I've been playing because I'm addicted to Monster Hunter. So yeah, we're going to go to our topic of our show.
Yeah, it's all good.
So apparently parents are paying for tutors to teach their kids how to play Fortnite. And tutors are being paid $20 an hour to teach a kid how to play a video game.
Wow.
That is the thing now. Yeah. And the first reason, let's suggest the first reason. So the first reason that they're doing this is because they're worried about their kids' social standing in school. Like, I play Fortnite, this is so much fun. Oh, you mean you don't play Fortnite? What's wrong with you? Or you can't be in on the conversation. What do you think of that?
Well, I'll have to say that there's always going to be that social standing type thing in school. It's unavoidable. And it's inevitable to something. Like, when I was growing up and I went to grammar school, sure, there was the kids I knew that were, like, not to change subjects entirely, but there were kids that I knew that were watching South Park and The Simpsons and things like that, and I couldn't get in on the conversation because I didn't know what they were talking about. I would hear what they were talking about, like when this is when South Park really started, and I heard about the alien satellite coming out of Cartman's butt. So there was that, and like if I try to watch that at home, I'd be caught dead, you know. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of how it was. I mean, my mom and my parents were okay with me playing games like video games like Metal Gear Solid and Crime Killer, but then when it came to South Park or Simpsons or Duckman, which is a kind of a newly resurging classic cult animation on Comedy Central, people talking about that more. I couldn't get in on the conversation because I didn't know what they were even talking about. So there was always that. So I think that it's kind of like, in terms of social standing, I think that's a little bit, I can see like a polarizing subject matter there, because on one hand they want their kids to fit in, but on the other hand there's always going to be like, there's also the lacking of teaching your kid to just be your own person and do your own thing. You don't have to follow the crowd, so to speak, you know. And I don't play Fortnite. I play Fortnite. I think there was a single player campaign. I played two levels and I haven't played it again. Nothing against it. It's just when you're a video game writer and a reviewer and you're playing all sorts of different games, you're not going to have time for a lot of this stuff. Like I just re-downloaded Warframe and because I want to play that because of the news of them including space battles, but I still haven't touched it, you know. It's just there's like a ton, like when you've got systems like I've got, it's just, you know, you don't have time for that. But so on one hand, I can see that they're trying to get their kids to fit in and have friends, and friendship's important, and talking about the same things are important. But at the same time, I feel that they should just talk about, like, maybe just blaze their own trail and talk about games that they play that nobody else plays. Like, what if they're playing, think of like, you know, game, like, what if they're playing Crash Bandicoot? You know, Crash Bandicoot's popular, it's not popular as Fortnite, but maybe they like playing a game where they're a crazy little bandicoot running around, spinning around, doing that type of thing. Sure, it's not Fortnite. You're not doing the dab while holding an M16 and running across a field and there's zombies and stuff. But it's just, but it is still a cool game. And maybe someone can say, hey, Crash Bandicoot, that looks cool. What's it about? You know, and even Spyro, which comes out, you know, in 6 weeks. So there's that. And you know, I think that's something that is interesting. Now, as for the pain, if it was just to have fun or be competitive, I can see that happening more. And
that's going to be the second thing we're going to talk about.
Okay.
We're not quite there.
Okay. So what's your input on this, Kalei?
So I have a cousin. He is now 20 years old. When he was like 6 or 7 years old or 8 years old, I can't quite remember. It's been a long time. I said to his mom, oh, is he going to get into video games? And she said, they're both teachers. And they said, no, you know, I don't want my child playing video games. I want him studying. I said, okay, I understand that. By the time he was 12, he had his own video game system. And I said to her, I said, why would you get her a video game system? Because I've told that you didn't want to do that. And the response was, he would go to his friend's house and not be able to play the games and keep up with them. So they got him his own system to practice.
Good. Okay.
So I kind of see how that social pressure is there. And I understand the social pressure to play games. I don't understand the social pressure to spend $20 an hour for you to play Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Like, why not let your kids study? Why not get a math tutor? You know, something that will produce something as a career. Now, me growing up, I'm old enough that it was socially awkward to play video games in my day. So, I mean, I had friends that played, but that's not what you did. You didn't play video games. And especially being female, you did your hair and you tanned. Like, I didn't do any of that crap.
Right, right. Yeah, that was that was like the 80s were a time of like acceptable roles, if so to speak, you know. You had the,
yeah, and very high hair.
Yeah, so I totally understand. Yeah, there was always the back in the 90s, like in particular, there was never like, I mean, I remember the people I knew had Game Boys and Game Gears, and I tried to get a Game Boy and I played a couple of games. It's like it was. I was kind of like, you know what? Come to think of it, if you remember, I'm gonna make a metaphor here or a comparison. If you remember the South Park episode where the infamous Shinpokomon one was, Kyle tries to get into Shinpokomon, but by the time he catches up and gets the action figure, they have the video game. By the time they have the video game, they have the whatever the Blu-ray or the DVD set. You know, it was like that. I remember my buddy having a Game Boy Gear, and I had one, and I played it. And by the time that was like I had one and was playing one, they were kind of phased out. I remember everybody used to bring Game Boys to school and camp, and by the time I had one, that was starting to phase out, and I just wasn't really interested in a Game Boy Advance or a Game Boy SP. And it was kind of like that's the other thing to consider too. Like these things are trending, they're topics, fine, but. Those kind of trends, they change consistently with what's going on and with what's going on and what's the big new thing happening. And I'm not saying Fortnite's never going to stop being big tomorrow, but I'm just saying that if they're talking about Fortnite, they might talk about Roblox next, which is apparently a really popular video game on mobile applications. My nephew's actually really into it.
Be careful with that.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm fully aware of the horrible stories. And I've told my sister, his mom about it. So, so far, you know, everything's still pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
But that actually brings us to the next reason that these parents are paying, and if this is going to backfire. You had said that, you know, it's how long is it's going to last. And you're absolutely right. Parents are then also trying to get their kids scholarships for college through the esports industry because the esports are becoming bigger now and companies are offering scholarships for that esports team.
Which is crazy. I mean, it's like just when I was in school at Stockton University, I'm getting news about a bunch of crazy things, like a course about Batman, a course about Harry Potter. I think there was a course about Game of Thrones. And then I'm hearing about scholarships for League of Legends, and I'm like, this is like this would have been heaven, you know, so many years ago. Like I would have loved to have gotten a scholarship for playing Warhawk because Warhawk was my jam. That was a game that I sacrificed many Saturday afternoons and evenings to for PS3, and I have no regrets. And Killzone 2, Killzone 2, I got plenty of good stories with that one. But in any case. So I'm like, wow, like we're really like kind of living in the future where if you're passionate about something and you've got the passion and the enthusiasm and even the skill to show for it, then by all means, let's get you on board. Let's give you a little extra something, you know? So that was always something. So now I'm imagining, yes, like everybody's gonna have a Fortnite scholarship. Here in New Jersey, we have Rutgers University, and Rutgers University has a it has an esports team apparently that's starting to form, and then of course that has it's starting to, with the esports team that's forming. It's also starting to have like scholarships and put it for anybody who wants to go to Rutgers. So it's very fascinating stuff. I do think that like I would love to see that scholarship expand more into maybe even like video game charity because I you know like you know if you have if you're a player or a gamer with Extra Life or StockUp.org. To have that opportunity is, I think, is pretty cool. So, it's pretty neat. So, but yeah, I could definitely imagine, like, you know, maybe 12, 13-year-old kid, you know, he's playing, you know, there's a Fortnite scholarship, and then maybe the mom wants to get pay a tutor $20 an hour or so for an hour and get this kid to be to get good at this type of stuff. And, you know, but like at the same time, we don't have a guarantee that this is going to stay popular for how long, you know. I mean, it did explode. It's hard, it's going to be 1 year soon, and we're going to have, you know, 2 year. Like we'll I'm sure we'll be hitting 2, 3, maybe 5 years. But especially with the Switch now having it, you know, gotten the Fortnite. But at the same time, it's kind of like it could be seen as like maybe a bit of a spur of the moment type thing. I do remember. Like, you know, like kind of like when everybody was getting hover bikes and nobody gets hover bikes anymore, or when everybody used to get remember what was it the fidget spinners? Now nobody gets fidget spinners no more, you know?
Yeah, that's the good point, and that's what I was thinking. So, 12-year-old, you pay 20, 40, 60, 100, a couple hundred dollars to get this kid good for scholarships. this kid goes to college at the age of 18, and now you're out of all that money because Fortnite is no longer a thing. I mean, I'm sure that whatever they learned would transfer over, but, I mean, is esports really becoming that big that, you know, that these parents need to you know, try to get them scholarships? Because, and plus, with these scholarships, how big of a scholarship can you get? I mean, the big E-teams practice so hard they're not going to college. They're dropping out of high school because they're spending 12 hours a day in a house with a person, with other teammates, trying to win at this game and do nothing but play this game 12 hours a day. So the question becomes, you know, is it really worth the money that these parents are spending for these coaches?
Right, that's the other thing to take into consideration. Esports is still very much it's a popular thing, but it still is a very new thing with a lot of room to try and establish where it is in gaming and how it's going to impact gaming as of right now. But started off as tournaments or really big, you know, arenas where people would duke it out to the death in Super Smash or something and maybe take home a couple $100 or $1,000, has now blown into something that is starting to rival major league sports teams. And as you know, in places like South Korea, Britain, Europe, it's become a big deal. So now it's starting to kind of get here in the United States. I actually discovered there's an esports thing happening in Philly and another one in New York. And I don't think they have the foundation yet to really, really blow, like to become like really well established. I mean, they're working on it though. So esports is the future. But then, of course, as you mentioned, Kalai, the fact that, you know, is it like people, is this going to be really a viable thing for people to drop out of high school and go to esports? And is it going to be really worth it to pay a tutor several hundred dollars a week to get good at something?
The other question is, how many colleges are actually offering esports scholarships?
And that, you know, that's, I don't think that number is very high.
No. And once you hit 18, 19, 20, even I think maybe the max is 25 years old, you pretty much have lost the edge and you can no longer be in esports, because the point of having such young kids in these esports is that their motor skills are so highly and so attuned, but as you get older, your motor skills start to decline, which affects your video game playing and how well you are at esports.
Right. I mean, I don't know about myself. I mean, I'm speaking on the fact that I played Destiny 2 the other night. I actually did pretty good. but, you know, the Crucible, that was a fun match. But anyways, yeah, that's another good point, too. I mean, it's to say, like, you know, you have to, like, where are even the standards? Because probably somebody who's 29 years old can hold their ground. Maybe somebody who's 40 years old could hold their ground. But, you know, you have to, like, you know, but, like, there's a lot of science that needs to be conducted. There's a lot of... that's also a matter of evaluation and how people are when it comes to things and it comes to controls and using those type of deal, like those type of features and things like that. So there's a lot of a very room for improvement in that regard, but it is a good point to make in regards to where esports is. And also, of course, it's the same. It's kind of, it's familiar in my opinion when it comes to doing sports in college, like regular competitive sports. You have individuals that maybe they were really good in high school and they get picked up for a college, and then, you know, some of these guys, like, and then being a college student and being in like a D1 team is very, very difficult. And, you know, there's a lot of like mishmash with that, with grades and practice and going on traveling and stuff like that. And or even like people who go to high school and then they get drafted out of, you know, out of high school immediately to be like part of professional sports. So there are a lot of instances of like, there's a lot of ambiguity there. And, you know, but the thing is, where football, basketball, they relatively stay the same no matter what, save for a couple different rules here and there. Fortnite's an entirely different game. What's this, like, you might prep your kid to be an esports champion with those tutorings, but then by the time I hit 18, 19 years old and we have PlayStation 5s and this Nintendo NX version 2s and Xbox Durangos or whatever, and there's probably going to be something else that dominates Fortnite. You know, maybe in VR. Or maybe it's going to be... I can't think of anything. Okay, Fortnite's a play on words.
RTSs. Who knows?
Right. I tried to think of something clever and I couldn't. Because get it?
So
like,
again.
Yeah.
Again, with sports, you learn discipline. A lot of players have to work out. They have to eat healthy, maintain a good body, you know, so they could play, physical fitness. You don't get that with esports. So now you are training your kids to sit around and, you know, play a game. You're probably drinking lots of, like, you know, Red Bulls and crap to try and stay awake because you're playing so many hours. And, you know, the chances of you getting scholarship are very low. Why not spend that money on a tutor? You know, find your child's interests, science, math, history. Instead of spending $20 to, like, play Fortnite, take your kid to a museum. You know, wouldn't that be better?
Right. I just thought of, like, 5 years. If we have a game called Fortnite, we're going to have a game called Go with the Flow, where it's a racing game on water and you shoot people with machine guns and boats and stuff. And it's going to be basically a battle royale in the ocean. But see, there you go. That could happen. But yeah, and bouncing off of Kalai's statement, I mean, I played video games growing up like crazy, you know, with Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, PlayStation especially. I remember playing games like Brahma Force, The Assault on Beltwanger 9, Metal Gear Solid. And even when the PS2 happened and I was starting to play games for long periods of time, like the first Kingdom Hearts. I think that my parents did also encourage me to go to museums and encourage me to go to places to learn, you know. So we went to things like the USS Intrepid Air and Space Museum in New York Harbor. We went to the Battleship New Jersey and the Franklin Institute. We went to places like Washington, D.C. and other historical landmarks in the state of New Jersey, mainly because, of course, you know, learning was still a very integral part. And that, I think, is, you know, that the like learning about these subjects definitely doesn't change, but they're all the more important. So there's that notion as well, to keep the kids inspired. Now, it's okay for them to still like Fortnite and want to get better, but still want to learn how to learn. But at the same time, it's like it's important not to make it all about this video game that, you know, may not be popular in 5 years. So those are things to take into consideration there.
Yeah, let's jump into our Facebook group because we did do a post this week and get your opinion so you can join our conversation. Matt posted, topic of the week, Fortnite is a thing. Parents are starting to get Fortnite tutors for their children to keep up with or increase their social standing in school. What do you guys think of this? Is esports finally finding a place in the heart of lands of America? Are we raising a generation of competitive gamers? So, Joseph Priestley says, parents need tutoring to parent first.
Yes, yes, I cannot stress enough, having worked at as a day camp camp counselor for a long time at Seashore Day Camp, and also being a swim instructor and also working at a children's museum for 2 years. Parenting was once something that people respected. It's like when you had a kid, you understood and upheld the law, you know, like Judge Dredd, and you know, you swore to an oath on your life to protect and defend that kid. And if that kid was being a little jerkwad, you didn't let him run your life and or her run your life. You know, you did what you had to do. You parented. Now, no, it's hell in a basket. It's the poo that hits the fan. It's everything. It's just, I cannot begin to tell you all the things I witnessed in my 2 years at the Children's Museum, where I just said to myself, you know what, like, humanity does not deserve to exist because our parents are terrible now. And I would honestly be okay with the giant Independence Day flying saucer to just blow us up right now. Or even or if you want to go real technical, Titan A.E., the movie Titan A.E., the animated movie by Don Bluth, where like these blue aliens just literally blow up the Earth in like 10 seconds. Yeah, we totally deserve that because our parents are terrible. And then if the parents are terrible, the kids are worse. And then they grow up and then they have to be leaders one day. And they're going to be worse than any other leader imaginable. And yeah, I can go on and on. But I will wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
Jesus. Yeah. Joseph says also WWE is closer to a sport than esports.
You know,
I disagree with that statement.
I could see where he's coming from, because I mean, even if it is more of a parody or a joke, because, you know, WWE,
it's scripted.
Yeah, WWE is scripted, but those stunts are real.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and they are hurting themselves and stuff, and trying to do that. I mean, it is, yes, an entertainment company, and every year it's, we have to get the world heavyweight champion of the world. That's been the same case every damn year. The heavyweight champion of the world. What about getting the Declaration of Independence from the White House and wrestling in the White House or something, like Nick Cage? What about, you know, pursuing the One-Eyed Willy pirate ship, like the big fight sequence on the pirate ship from Goonies? What about that? Like, it's every year, I am the heavyweight champion of the world. The next year, like, stop! I don't care anymore! I want another champion! A champion of eating two Chipotle burritos without throwing up! Something like that, please! WWE Chipotle Baja Fresh champion. But, yeah, so that's where I'm on the side of that young man. So thank you for that. But thank you for the input, guys. What's next?
Andrew says, esports will at least for the next couple of years always be more of a fringe aspect of gaming as a whole. While there is definitely big prize money to be had across the host of games, the population of those activities is still small to more traditional sports ventures. Fortnite is a unique position compared to, say, Overwatch, League of Legends, Dota 2, and CSGO, because the entry to the game is significantly lower compared to those other games, but their skill cap is equally as high. It also helps that the popularity of the game, due not only to the talent playing it, but the controversies surrounding it, have not painted it in a negative light like PUBG's issues have. As to the tutors, that isn't a new thing in the grand scheme of competitive gaming, as you just look at to StarCraft and Warcraft RTS as some of the big ones back in the day. And before we talk about this, I just want to say thank you, Joe. You made me lose my spot.
Well, it is worth mentioning, if we talk about Fortnite, a couple weeks ago, before all sorts of stuff happened, the Jessica Price toxicity and the Dead Cells plagiarism article, there was an article that was posted by some UK magazine about how Fortnite made my kid into a drug addict that wanted to end his life, and the New York Post posted it, and then Eurogamer.net became my heroes because they uncovered an email in which they approached the family of, I guess, a troubled kid, and they framed a story, and in the email they say, we need to make this strong, very strong, and they paid the family £300 for this story. So it's just, if to go back to that statement about controversies, it's like, you know, it, just to keep in mind, I mean, there will be some controversies, like, you know, somebody said, like, you know, that if you do dances, you should be paid for it. You know, that's one thing to take into note, into input, but also just to keep, be aware that there's people out there who are going to try and, like, you know, ruin this game for everybody because for some false statement. But, you know, and, but then at the same time, that person has a point, because Counter-Strike's been going on for years, and so has Dota and League of Legends, and there's no sign of them slowing down anytime soon. So it's, there's just, I think there's something with the skill and something with those particular games. Oh, and Hearthstone. Hearthstone's just throwing stones at each other, and that doesn't look like it's going to go anyway anytime soon. So it's just, I think, like, that's what it is in that regard, too. Just the scat, like, the Fortnite still requires skill, but there's just something to those other games versus Fortnite that makes the Fortnite kind of a league of its own, but, like, not quite in the same league, so it's worth, that's another thing, topic worth considering there and taking into consideration. Also, I just thought of something. If we talk about competition in video games and esports, and there was a little video game that I honestly think might become reality called Smash TV.
I remember that game.
So I think we're going to head into that, because you said in the statement, big money, big prizes. So I was like, oh, because there's a, in the game, there's an announcer who goes, big money, big prizes. I love it. And it's basically that movie Running Man, where, like, you're fighting mm-hmm. for your life while people try and kill you. But you have guns in this one. So, like, there's giant monsters trying to kill you. And it's like you can get a VCR and a DVD player and refrigerators and stuff for points and tons of cash. But you have to shoot everybody. So that's probably what's going to be the next step of esports. If this doesn't work out.
Adam says, on one hand, it's great. Games bring kids together and become super mainstream. However, it is a double-sided sword. With increase in popularity and needing to be good to be recognized as cool comes new challenges. The big one we are seeing is work and game balance. Parents are used to leaving their kids to their own devices still and not really see their child's experience and interactions with games and community. I think parents will need to learn and adapt to help kids really understand gaming responsibility. That's a good point. What are you teaching your kids as, you know, gaming all the time? And, you know, this leads us into something we've talked about before, and that's the fact that the medical society is recognizing gaming as an addiction. So what happens when you take something that's addicting and you pay to have your kid, you know, play it all the time?
Right, and like I do respect the WHO's recognition of this, because there have been stories I remember long before any of this happened where people would play games for hours straight and they would have to go to the hospital.
Our next response is from Molly, who says parents will always find a way to make something lame. Matthew says maybe less Fortnite tutors and more math tutors.
Right, I mean, I will have to say, you know, we are in a couple of thoughts to consider. We are in an age where science is being doubted, unfortunately, and it's kind of unfortunate. And the, you know, like PBS and NPR and all those other agencies are doing a really good job at trying to, like, encourage people for science. And we have people who are really riled about science, but we're not doing that enough in our schools, and we're not doing that enough in our homes. So it's like, you know, you have to kind of pursue that. Or just, you know, games are great and all, but that's really important. And another thought I want to bring up is that like when we talk about, like, long extended play times, there have been things that have there have been instances in other games where, like, excessive gaming was like seen as kind of a potential problem. And as you know, the WHO made that particular diagnosis of excessive gaming. And I remember seeing stories about Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 gamers and World of Warcraft gamers extended playing for a long time. And those are things to be taken into consideration. Like, you know, you can have long play sessions, but having sessions that last days nonstop, you know, those are things to take into consideration. What's our next response?
That was it. So I want to say thank you to everybody who contributed. And we're going to go to the end of the show. Now, how can people get in touch with you, Roberto?
Well, a bunch of ways. A few quick announcements, teases for next week. I actually happen to have review copies of a couple of games that I am reviewing now. Games like Phantom Doctrine, Polygod for the Nintendo Switch, Hello Neighbor, as well as Road to Valhalla.
Ooh, you have Hello Neighbor.
State of Mind. So, yeah, Hello Neighbor. Yeah, it was released on the PS4 last week. I couldn't play some of these games because I was prepping for my trip to DC, and you know, it was really cool. Which, by the way, that was a lot of fun. Long story short, big anime convention, 30,000 people. I met Erica Mendez and James Paddock. I saw Nobuo Uematsu. My life is complete. So, for the time being. Yeah. But in any case, I'll give you some impressions of those games next week. But how to reach out to me. So first, I'll put my PlayStation Network ID in the GameStuff Facebook chat. So if you want to play anything online, I'll join you. It's VectorMan88. Regards to my personal favorite video game character of all time. You can find me here on GameStuffs. Find me on ProvenGamer.com. StackUp.org, Military Gaming Charity, which is a 501c not-for-profit military charity dedicated to sending video games to the troops. I write there for that site, and I also volunteer. I'm part of another site called But Why Though PC, a pop culture podcast. I've been a little contributor there, trying to write about less obscure, more obscure, lesser known games. I can be reached, seen on Facebook, Twitter at a handle Jehuti88, Instagram at MajorSloth1988, and that's oh, and then my Nintendo. Oh, I haven't shared this at all. But if you give me a friend request on Nintendo Switch, it's Major Sloth.
No, because they actually still use the stupid friend code, so that doesn't work.
No, it does. I've done it.
Oh, that's
they impressive. Don't. I mean, friend codes are one thing, but I didn't have to do it. Like one of my buddies, I didn't have to do it. I mean, it searches for nearby users, and I think you can look it up. And in fact, if you link your, if you are friends with somebody on Twitter. And they, on their Switch, and okay, so let's say you and I have Twitter, right? We're both friends on Twitter. We've linked our Switches to Twitter. We get to be able to, we get to be able to be friends with each other. Okay. And that's how that works, so it's pretty cool.
Okay. I know you can find, Matt when he, on all social platforms at MistNuff. That's MistNuff. You can find me on Steam at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find me on the PlayStation at Miley1978. That's M-A-I-L-E-1978. You can find me on Xbox at Miley21. And you can find me on Twitter at Kalai21 or check us out on the GameStuff Twitter cast. If you do like our show, you could check out our sponsors. We have Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com. Click on that Amazon link and do all your shopping like normal. It does help out the site, and it doesn't cost you any money. We also participate with Humble Bundle, which there'll be a link in their show notes. You can just click on that, shop for cheap PC games, and we do help out the charity Extra Life. We do this for the children. If you like our shows, our show, you could check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Horse, which is our PlayStation podcast, and we have the Nintendo Dual Screens, which is our Nintendo podcast. I'd also like to thank some of the people that helped us with this show. Isaac Sago, you can check him out at isaacsago.carbonmade.com. I will put a link in the show notes. And the band Take Away the Ugly, who does our songs. Thank you guys so much. Again, there'll be a link in our show notes for them as well. So, thank you for listening. We'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.